Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
For the most beautiful jewelry at incredible prices and the best service, shop Corinth Jewelers. We are honored and humbled to have been voted the best jewelry store in the state of Mississippi once again by Mississippi Magazine. Corinth Jewelers, for everything that sparkles.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
We're glad that you are broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio in Hattiesburg. I'm Kelly Sienner along with producer-engineer Michael Mergens. Bob Getty has the weekend off. Dima Mixon still out on paternity leave, but we expect him back on July 13th. On the program today, David Bounds, who is... If you're a Southern Miss fan, you have probably run across David Bounds. First of all, he's imposing in stature, big dude. But he's also had several important jobs at the university and has just retired in the last year. We're going to recap his athletic career, which is his career in the athletic department and actually his own athletic career. Later on in the program, we'll be talking with a Canadian native from Selkirk, Manitoba, Canada, Glenn Natchick, former Southern Miss golfer. Who now makes his home in Florida, probably the most successful Southern Miss golfer to ever hit the tour with over $2 million in career earnings. Glenn Natchick later on in the program. This first segment brought to you by Dickie's Barbecue Pit. Smoked here, loved everywhere. Leave your 4th of July cooking to Dickie's. Whether it's a small group or a large group, you want to spend time with your friends, and Dickie's can help take care of you right near Turtle Creek Mall. Big supporters of Southern Miss and this program. As we mentioned, David Bounds joins us now. He's been at Southern Miss, was away for a little while, then came back and recently retired as the director of the physical plant at the University of Southern Mississippi. But his trip to Hattiesburg was a little bit unorthodox. There aren't many people, period, that can say that they played for a national championship collegiate football team. But our first guest today, David Bounds, can. He was a member of the 1981 Clemson Tiger National Championship team, coached by Danny Ford, the athletic director at Clemson at the time, was a gentleman by the name of Bill McClellan, who later on brought his AD skills to Southern Miss. That relationship was already established with David Bounds and Nick Floyd and others who came from Clemson and just recently retired in the last year or so. And we welcome you, Big Dave. Good to have you here, man.
Well, it's great to be here, and I've listened to your show many times before. And
oh, that was you.
Yes, I was the one.
Well, we appreciate that, but let's go, you know, because you graduated from Clemson, and although most of your career at Southern Miss did revolve around construction and buildings of cafeterias, yes, of dormitories and so, but that really wasn't your original goal coming out of college.
No.
Tell us about that.
I actually wanted to teach high school and or be a college coach, but that's very difficult to get. So I decided I wanted to be a teacher and a coach. And then I started applying for jobs and interviewed for a few in South Carolina. And unfortunately, the pay was terrible. And then another opportunity to do some scouting for a combine company called Blesno in the NFL came along, and I did that. And so I enjoyed that, and I covered 5 states, but it was a lot of travel. And Bill McClellan had retired from Clemson, and he was working for a company in Atlanta. And so I had heard that he was interested in hiring some former athletes, plus I knew him. And so I called him up, and he said, come on, let's go. And then shortly after I got to that food company, which is Eastern Foods, Naturally Fresh, he took the job at Southern Miss. And there's a kind of a unique story how he got the job, too.
But. Yeah, Terry Don Phillips, who was originally introduced at a press conference, who was coming from southwestern Louisiana at the time, which is now known as Louisiana. He was introduced and actually conducted a press conference only a day or two later to say he was not coming to Southern Miss, and that's when Bill McClellan and the Clemson crew you know, came over, and you were among them. I want to talk about.
Well, he came in '86, and okay. On the way out the door, I told him I wanted to come to Mississippi. My father was born and raised in Mississippi, and so he said, "Well, I'll call you in a year." And I said, "Okay." So I kept up with him, and then in '87, he brought me here.
Now, and you on that Clemson, it's not like you were on the roster. I mean, you were on that team and competed at a very high level until injuries got you.
Yes, yeah. I had my first of five back surgeries in what was going into my 81 year. And I tried to play in 81, and the doctors eventually said no. And the coaches knew that I was wanting to be involved and be part of it. So they asked me to be a student coach. And so I really didn't know what that was going to entail, but they treated me like a king, and I lettered as a senior, got a national championship ring. And
which you're wearing today.
Yes. I don't wear it that often, right. But yes, I am wearing it.
And you were also then a grad assistant football coach at Southern Miss.
They asked me to be a graduate assistant, and that was the first year you were allowed to have graduate assistants. And it was four of us, and I did that, and that was very successful. And then I got out in the world after I was thinking about coaching in high school, then the scouting, and then I heard Bill McClellan was hiring in Atlanta, and I went to Atlanta with him, and then he left to come to Southern Miss. So I said, I got to go to Southern Miss. And so he called me and says, I got – only $18,500 a year, plus you can live in the dorm. And I said, tell me when to be there. And I came.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, it was great. I wanted to come back.
But you've also held the role as, you know, equipment director for about all the sports. You have overseen projects, including the Coliseum, the rebuilding of Van Hall, and other places like that. How did that evolve, Dave, from going to the equipment to the construction side, which has really fascinated you?
Well, at Southern Miss and athletics at the time, we didn't have big staff. And so we did a lot of crossover stuff. And, you know, I helped with everything from managing buildings, scheduling them, managing construction. We built the M Club. I helped with the baseball. I did the track complex.
Okay.
I did all kinds of things. And I found that I actually had a knack for that. And it was good, and I enjoyed it. And then I left for a couple of years and did – I sold industrial-sized scoreboards and signage with MUN, you know, everything from church signs to scoreboards and business signs. And then I had an opportunity through some hearsay that there was some jobs available at the physical plant at Southern Miss, which oversees all construction, all maintenance, all utilities, everything for the university. So I applied.
Is there any doubt in your mind that had Bill McClellan or Nick Floyd not been at Southern Miss, that David Bounds would have never made it to Southern Miss?
I had applied for a job at Southern Miss 2 years before when Jim Carmody was still the head coach. And I worked with Jim with 1 year.
Big Nasty.
Big Nasty. And the other AD before Bill was still in spot.
Roland Dale,
yes. I met him a couple of times, but other than that, I don't really know him that much. And I did not get the job. But you know who did? He was the academic advisor. That's what position. And I'll think of his name here in a minute.
Not Villarreal.
No.
Okay.
He was the I'm sorry.
That's all right.
But he got the job. He was a local, and I got so.
Right.
And so needless to say, it was kind of funny. I got turned down, and 2 years later I was here. 87 was my first year, and I was trying to learn all the trades and, you know, some of the better athletes.
And it would have been really easy after you left to go sell the industrial signs and whatnot. It would have been easy for the university to say, thank you for your time, Mr. Bounds.
Yeah.
See you later, alligator. But actually, you were reunited with Southern Miss after a few years of that.
Yes. Now, when I was with athletics, I managed athletics construction. Okay? And even though it was athletics construction, it still has to go through the physical plant by state law. And it has to go to it has to follow IHL policy and all the rules and regulations. So I had to work very closely with the physical plant. Matter of fact, I was over there a lot every day. So that's how I got to know them. And they knew me, and they knew what kind of personality I was. One of the very first digital scoreboards at Southern Miss was in the south end zone. And they pretty much let me build that. And I had to report to them every day. And that's where they knew that I knew what was going on. And so that's where I developed my relationship with the physical plant. So when I came back and applied for these jobs that they had, that helped me lead in.
And you've worked with and through several athletic directors, several different coaches, several different sports. How did you handle, because, and I'm not speaking out of turn here, there's a little bit of ego involved with coaches and ADs and so on. How were you able to juggle all those personalities, Dave?
Well, I think I kind of learned a little bit of that when I was working for Bill. As you know, he had a kind of an interesting personality. One day he would be very social, and the next day he was kind of formal. And so you had to learn how to juggle in between. And everybody, whether you're dealing with him as a director or the new director, you learn and check for as they go. You got follow the system and try to be as professional as possible.
You probably have seen David Bounds before, even if you didn't know him by name. Like I said, when you're an offensive lineman for Clemson, you're a pretty big dude. But very few people, I dare say, have done as much to look at the landscape of Southern Miss rather than this guy and his colleagues at Southern Miss. And we will continue our discussion with David Bounds, recently retired at Southern Miss, when the Eagle Hour continues in just a moment.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
This segment of the program brought to you by Eagle Tire West. They invite you to come by and see them for premium Goodyear products or any tire brand that you prefer. Full auto and truck service at Eagle Tire West next to Smith Motor Company on Highway 98 in West Hattiesburg. Family operated since 1985, Eagle Tire and Eagle Tire West. Full service and big Southern Miss supporters. On the program tomorrow, former Southern Miss basketball player Tate Ryder, who just after 1 year as an assistant coach in the Pedal area has gotten a job as the assistant basketball coach at one of the big 7A schools down on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. So we're going to be talking with Tate Ryder tomorrow on the program. Still to come today, former Southern Miss golfer Glenn Natchick. We'll be talking about the PGA Tour and about the U.S. Open that was just completed. But we continue our discussion with now retired David Bounds, who has done a lot to make this university look the way it looks with different building construction and athletics. Athletics-wise, Dave, let's talk about some of the projects that you've been involved in.
Well, my first project with athletics was the original M Club building, which was a donation from all the M Club members. And I oversaw that, and I learned the whole process of what was going on and how to check for quality and stuff like that. I was well trained by the contractor, and that was Max Construction, I believe. And then I think my next one was the track and field,
right.
Marshall Bell track. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed that, and that taught me also more of the process of putting a track surface down and how complicated that is. And then I've done things like a lot of stuff at baseball, everything from bleacher reassignment. I built the original grandstands. That was my project. And
because I don't think people remember that the original baseball field was now where the football practice field is.
Now, when I got here, it had already moved.
Right.
It's at a current location. And then I also did the light system. I did the original light system, which was already designed by the time I got here. And they used the money from the outfield wall to pay for it. Well, one of my projects before I left was I upgraded it to the LED lighting that's there now. And when they hit a home run and it flashes right. and all that, I did all that.
Now, you and your wife, Denise, have two daughters. And I guess nowadays there's a lot more crossover of, you know, women loving sports and mm-hmm. guys liking mm-hmm. things that traditionally women have liked. Were your daughters ever enamored with the fact that their dad played on a national championship collegiate football team?
I just don't know if my daughters can see me as a football player. Even though I show them pictures and all that, they just never were a part of that experience. But whenever I go to Clemson and they go with me, as they were younger, I used to take them as much as I could. And they would interact with former athletes and see them, and we would get along and team pictures and all that. So they actually there's a brick right by the rock at Clemson. It has my name on it and everything, along with all the other folks that were on that 1981 team and stuff like that. And so they've seen that, and so they understand that there I'm – you know, maybe something a little special. But most of the time, to them, going to a Clemson football game is, we're going to dress up, we're going to look good, and we're going to spend a lot of time eating at the tailgating and having fun at the concession stand and all that stuff, where they're not quite as focused as what's going on the field.
Toughest question I'm going to ask you, and it's hypothetical.
Yeah, yeah.
But if Southern Miss were to play Clemson in football, would you be wearing a black and gold shirt or a orange shirt?
That is a tough one. You know, I have been at Southern Miss when we played Clemson in basketball.
Yes. Cliff Ellis was the coach.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah. And we even played them there one time.
Yes.
And I sat Southern Miss all the way. And so, and people from Clemson came up to me and said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "This is where I work. This is my paycheck."
Right.
I said, "This is my team. Now, I love Clemson, but this is Southern Miss." Okay, remember a couple of years ago when we played in Auburn, Clemson, in baseball?
Yes.
Clemson, Southern Miss. So what I did is when Southern Miss played Clemson, I wore Southern Miss stuff because that's where I worked. Well, then eventually Clemson went and played Auburn, I think. So I came to that game wearing Clemson stuff.
You talked about Bill McClelland, who came – to Southern Miss as the athletic director after the Terry Don Phillips situation. Mm-hmm. And you had a chance to, at different times, be with Bill McClelland in more vulnerable times that he would talk and open mm-hmm. up. Mm-hmm. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think he understood that he was a person that either people really, really liked or didn't so much.
Yes.
He realized
yes,
that,
yes,
didn't he?
Yes, he did. And he understood that he had to do a lot at Southern Miss in a very short period of time. And when you do as much as he did, he basically instituted priority seating, priority parking, Eagle Club status level, all of that at one time. And people just went crazy because we had season ticket holders that had been sitting on the 50 pretty much all their life and had been given $25, $30, $100. Well, all of a sudden now that cost them $250, $500, and they didn't like it, which I can understand, but that's what it took. Now at Clemson, I asked him, why do they dislike you so much here, but why did you get away with this at Clemson? And he said, well, first of all, I didn't do it quite as fast. He gave it time to adjust and grow and people to get used to it. Plus, he had 85,000 people wanting 83,000 tickets. And so if he upset somebody, somebody was going to be able to come along and take over for him. And so needless to say, it was understanding. He knew that people were not going to like him.
And that had to be
all the way.
But if you're gonna lead any type of organization, that kind of comes with the territory.
Yes, that's right. And he really loved Southern Miss, and he did everything he could to make Southern Miss successful.
One of the most notorious things that he did at Clemson, because it made nationwide news, was instituted what was called the IPTE program,
yes. mm-hmm.
which is an acronym.
Yes.
Right, which was I pay
$10 a year.
$10 a year, which I pay $10 a year.
Yep. Still IPTE. Call that.
I wonder why he didn't install that or?
Well, no, he did. The Eagle Club. That's what I'm talking about.
So it evolved.
Eagle, yes.
Okay.
The Eagle Club. He came up with the Eagle Club and started. Now, there was like dugout clubs and there was
hardwood,
and all that. Well, he said, we're going to have an Eagle Club. Everybody's going to give to the Eagle Club. If you still want to give to the dugout club, you do that. See, like I'm an Eagle Club member,
right?
But I give to the dugout club. Matter of fact, this is
my dugout. You got your hat on
there.
This is
my Corky Palmer. I love this hat.
So yes.
I wear it all the time in dugout. And so needless to say, he instituted all that. Excuse me.
Sorry.
And people didn't quite figure out what was going on, but he took Southern Miss to a regular operating Division I level, but he did it in 1 year. And change is never easy at any institution.
All right, so you've got your quote unquote years in the system,
mm-hmm.
But a lot of people have their years in the system, but just don't leave. What was the determining factor for you, David Bounds, that you said I'm going to the house?
Well, first of all, I have two granddaughters that I want to spend more time with, and I have a daughter that lives in Maryland, and I really haven't been able to go up there much, so I'm going to go up there and I'm going to start traveling. But I'm really not. I'm retired, but I'm still an affiliate with the university, and I go in and I help them with history. In other words, like even on Friday, they were trying to find some valves to a building to shut the water off, and so I went on Friday and I volunteered my time. And I do that, and I'm also working as a part-time consultant for Werburner Allen, which is the architect that is doing the renovation of the Coliseum.
You were talking about some other history, which I found cool, that when Van Hall, the original Van Hall, was raised,
mm-hmm.
which I find it interesting that the term raised actually means destroying it,
yes,
rather than the other way around. But you got to hang on to some of those great historical, trophies and plaques and things from almost 100 years ago.
Yes, yes. A lot of that was turned, almost all the trophies that were in that building were turned over to athletics. And then the building plaque, which is a historical plaque, and it's required by law to be in the building. When we rebuilt Century Park South, which was one of my projects, that's a $55 million project, and we, through the administration, I didn't make this determination myself, but we decided that the new building was going to be called Van Hall. It's in the same footprint as the old one. So what we did is we took the building plaque from the old building. It's mounted inside the lobby, and the Pie Band, his photo is in there and picture, along with the new plaque. So visitors can come to that building and see this was the old and this is the new.
Including a lot of the greatest players that ever stepped on a court, on a field, or wherever at Southern Miss, still being commemorated at Van Hall. Well, again, you might not know him. You might not know his name, but I probably bet that you have seen David Bounds, and you certainly have seen a lot of the things that he has supervised construction-wise around the athletic department and in the entire facility and campus at Southern Miss. We salute you on your retirement, Dave, and you're welcome back here on the Eagle Hour anytime.
Okay, well, thank you for having me, and I enjoyed it.
Glenn Natchick will join us next, former Southern Miss golfer now making his home in Florida. Tuesday edition rolls on in just a moment.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
This segment brought to you by DBAT, making your youngsters all they can be on the softball and baseball diamond in air-conditioned comfort and meticulously clean experience that you will get at DBAT. And Forest Health would like to remind you about making sure that you get your physical each and every year to make sure that you are as good as you can be. You can reach out to them at foresthealth.org. That's foresthealth.org. To set up your appointment if you haven't done that. Particularly us guys, we don't really like doing those sorts of things, which is why women outlive us. Okay, so make sure that you are the best that you can be. Joining us now from the great state of Florida, or as Governor DeSantis would call it, Florida. There's no I with Ron DeSantis. It's just Florida. Is Glenn Natchick, former Southern Miss golfer, arguably the best golfer to ever come out of Southern Miss with over $2 million worth of earnings on tour. His best year was 2002 on the PGA Tour with 8 top 25 finishes with 15 professional wins in his career. Glenn, always good to talk to you, man. We're glad that you could join us today.
Yeah, Kelly, thanks for having me. It's been a long time.
Yeah, and I didn't realize that that you were a Manitoba boy, a Selkirk right outside of Winnipeg, when my brother played junior A hockey in Flin Flon. And you also, does any kid in Canada not have a hockey background?
Maybe in some form or fashion, but yeah, I was lucky enough to play a couple years of junior when I was 16 and 17, and quite frankly, right after that, I came down to, went down to Southern Miss.
So can you hook or slice a hockey puck?
Yeah, you know, the puck does spin. So, yeah, there's a little bit of curve to it. Yeah, it's certainly not as easy as a golf ball.
Hey, I wanted to ask you, first of all, before the subject becomes tired, is there's still been a lot of talk in the PGA circles about the way that Wyndham Clark was treated at the U.S. Open by the Long Island golf fans. Mm-hmm. You certainly can't dispute how well he played. And there's other discussions, too, about maybe different PGA venues are getting a little carried away with the lax rules regarding alcohol consumption. Let's just put it that way. The Phoenix Open comes to mind as well. Do you have any strong feelings about that either way, Glenn?
You know, I don't know if I have necessarily strong feelings. I think that, you know, the U.S. Open was obviously situational, being in New York. Very, very passionate fans, not afraid to voice opinions. So I don't want to say it was kind of expected, but it's probably a little bit expected to have some kind of backlash there. Again, not with the fans not shy about voicing opinions. I think, you know, alcohol or not, to be honest with you. But Wyndham Clark, for sure, you know, hyper-focus, and of course, congratulations to him. It was a wonderful, wonderful victory. But Phoenix, interesting tournament. That is, quite honestly, Kelly, it's a party first and then a golf tournament second. So that is the basic setting. That's when I played, you know, 25 years ago when I played there. So that's to be expected, to be honest with you, as far as Phoenix is concerned.
And I guess, ultimately, you could say that the tour players themselves can either choose to play there or not choose to play there if it's a bother
Correct.
To them.
And quite frankly, I think, you know, the other tournaments, and it would have to be the PGA Tour, have kind of embraced a little bit of what Phoenix kind of brings, because even if you look at the Canadian Open that was played a couple of weeks ago, the 16th hole at Phoenix is that iconic par 3 with now it's basically come, they could almost put a dome over that hole because the stands go right around the whole hole pretty much. The Canadian Open, and I think other venues have done the same thing. I think at the Canadian Open in one of their back nine par threes, they call it the rink. So everybody's kind of copying that kind of thing. So, you know, they're embracing it to some extent.
So let's go back to your playing days at Southern Miss. Anytime that the Eagles get a foreign athlete, you know, the question, and this was long before social media, with all due respect, and the
sure.
internet, really, all that. So how does a kid from Selkirk, Manitoba, Canada, even know about Southern Miss, let alone wind up playing for the Eagles?
There was actually a couple guys from Winnipeg who were already on the golf team who were a couple years older than I was, and basically kind of put a good word in for me. Back then, you know, by the time I was 16, 17, all I could do was just kind of put out letters to all kinds of, you know, to 50 different colleges in hopes to get something back, and really didn't, except for Southern Miss, after a couple of these guys kind of put a good word in for me. So offered me a little bit of scholarship my first year, played my way onto the team, and kind of went from there.
Do you ever remember how you dealt with the harsh weather conditions, and I'm talking about heat and humidity, compared to where you are even in the warmest
Brutal.
Parts of the year?
Brutal. Yeah, you know, even you know, I never had a visit as far as going down to Southern Mississippi before I had played there, and coming from, you know, Selkirk or Winnipeg, Manitoba, you know, never, ever got anything, any kind of humidity like that. So going down there the first time, going right into the qualifying, trying to make the team and the traveling team and that kind of thing, it was absolutely brutal. Fire ants were another thing. Never, you know, never heard of them. You'd stand in the ant pile thinking no big deal, but, you know, that was a big mistake. The humidity and the heat were absolutely brutal, something that we have to get used to for sure.
And when it comes to, and I've got some nephews in Minnesota, and they talk about this too, when you, when you're kind of born with a hockey stick in your hand like you were in Canada, what led you, Glenn, to make the shift to golf and then realized, hey, I think this might be my future, not hockey?
Well, you know, I was a decent hockey player. You know, playing junior B at 16 and 17 was pretty good. Golf was, you know, as I got a little bit older, and I always say I had kind of a, you know, an average to maybe a little bit above average kind of junior amateur career. Won our the Manitoba Amateur, which is basically like your state amateur. And I just loved playing tournament golf and had a little, started getting a little bit more success when I was getting 16, 17 years old. And it was basically, it wasn't a blind faith kind of thing, but it was just kind of a, you know what, maybe I'll try to do this and see if I can get some kind of scholarship, gave them, you know, whatever credentials I had and kind of hope for the best. But I basically kind of played my way. I didn't become a real good player until kind of towards, once I got out of college, I kind of became, a real good player, made the necessary changes. As far as I'm concerned, I was an okay college career kind of player.
Yeah, because when you really look back on those times, and again, with all due respect, the only Canadian golfers you heard of back then was, you know, George Knutson. Mm-hmm. Dan Halderson came along a little bit later on, but both of them, you know, had a reasonable amount of success. But you had to think too, this is the deck is totally stacked against me, being from Canada to begin with.
Right. And I never even thought about it that way until I got my PGA Tour card, where I would have people say, "Wow, you know, Canadian coming from a town of 10,000 people, you got your PGA Tour card." And I kind of got to thinking, I guess that's kind of an accomplishment sort of thing. But you know what, Kelly, when I first turned pro, I was in the U.S. I was in Mobile, Alabama, and started playing mini tours. So it wasn't, you know, obviously still to this day, I'm still Canadian, but I was so engulfed in playing, you know, trying to improve my game and that kind of thing. It didn't matter where I was playing or you know, where I was from. It was just about getting better and better and trying to make the PGA Tour.
And I would be remiss if, you being a Canadian, I did not bring up this subject. Is it possible, Glenn Natchick, that your fellow countrymen could win the World Cup this year in men's soccer?
100%. 100%. Especially with Germany being beat, because I think that's where they're coming out of that bracket. It's exciting. You know, just getting as far as they have is exciting. And, you know, of course, the U.S. is looking pretty good, you know, looking really good, actually. So it's fun. You know, it's the World Cup is, boy, oh boy. Other than the Summer Olympics, I don't know if it gets much bigger, to be honest with you, Kelly.
Well, I've been to your country several times, and I love being in Canada. And when there were stories about the Scottish drinking all the bars in Boston dry, and I joked with somebody yesterday saying, if the Canadians continue to do what they've been doing, they will put the Scottish to shame.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I tell you, don't take us to that task for sure, because when it comes to beer, you know, bring it on.
Yeah. And so before we hit this hard commercial break, and we'll have you back for just a few minutes at the end of the show. Mm-hmm. Do you think, though, that kind of wrapping up this subject about alcohol and liquor from the fan base on the tour, is this something you think that and in this general, in the country we live in now, the lax civility that we seem to have toward one another, is this something the tour is going to have to be proactive in really being careful and managing?
Yeah, and it's a great point that you make, Kelly, because it's not an arena, you know, so the fans aren't contained. I mean, they are very close, other than the court on a basketball, in a basketball game in an arena, you know, where the closest seats are kind of almost right on the court. In golf, it's kind of the same thing. The ropes are right there. especially when you get to the tee boxes. And in order to monitor that, I mean, it's so difficult to have that much security. There's going to be, there's going to have to be something. I don't know if it's stopping alcohol sales, maybe even at a certain time or whatever it is. But for sure, you're right. It becomes boisterous, especially at the wrong times.
Yeah.
And the worst thing about it is when things start to get personal, with the players and that kind of thing. So.
Continuing our discussion with former Southern Miss golfer Glenn Natchick when the Eagle Hour continues in just a moment.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
This final segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you by MCS Home Center. Home repair, remodeling, construction, everything you need for your next project, home, lawn, or garden is available at MCS Home Center in Bellevue. MCS is Hattiesburg's new home improvement center with local folks eager to help you. 7329 Highway 98 West. Just past the 98-589 interchange. And don't forget, once the show is over today live, you can download the podcast on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or ask Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. On the show tomorrow, former basketball player Tate Ryder from Southern Miss, now coaching high school basketball on the coast. Finishing our conversation with former Southern Miss golfer Glenn Natchick, who now makes his home in Florida. Over $2 million in earnings on the PGA Tour. And Glenn, when you see now that the new training facility at Southern Miss, the women's team won the conference tournament a couple of years ago, the golf program really thriving now, and facilities, I guess, are what it's all about. And it's got to make you feel good that the Eagles are making somewhat of a name for themselves on the national level.
I think that's awesome. The program has grown so much and given us so much notoriety, and it's great to see. I used to think that we were lucky to have a university course when I was going there, and that's where we pretty much played all the time, and once in a while at Hattiesburg Country Club as well as Laurel. So coach has done a great job in recruiting. The girls are great. I'm looking forward to them even getting better.
We do need a moment of silence, though, for the old Goat Ranch. Van Hook Golf Course, RIP. They closed it down about 10 years ago, maybe?
They did it? Wow, yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, the university in its effort to expand the campus, they were kind of landlocked there, so they needed that land for some other projects. So Van Hook no longer exists, and the Judson Training Facility that we were talking about is housed at the Hattiesburg Country Club, which is now where the team kind of makes its home. But you guys, Glenn, we talked about the old Deposit Guarantee Golf Classic, which is now the tournament, the PGA event that's staged in Jackson. You guys as players caddied in some of those tournaments in Hattiesburg, right, at the Country Club?
Correct. That week, the golf team, for the most part, would caddy. We'd show up on Monday and try and get a bag. And if we did, we would obviously work our way around class schedule and whatnot. It was a real fun week, yep.
Now, if your guy happened to do well, did you guys get a cut of that pot?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Unfortunately, I don't think I ever caddied for a guy who made the cut, so... But yeah, we got paid. Yep.
I wonder if that would have caused any entanglements with the NCAA back then.
I don't know, but you know what? It's too late for that. I'm in the clear. And you know what? Actually, Kelly, I'm denying everything. I'm just kidding. Never did it. Never got paid.
Yeah, the statute of limitations. I think
there's got to be, right.
It's probably over. So, how much involved with you are you still with the game, Glenn?
You know what? I'll be honest with you, because I'm still a middle school teacher at this point, and I'll go out and I'll hit balls every once in a while. I haven't played a whole lot. I do kind of because I live in a golf community here. So once a week, I help them out on Sundays, and I'm in the pro shop, and I'm working. And it's been fun doing that for the last year, just kind of getting back in the golf circles and that kind of thing. So, but as far as playing, still don't do a whole lot. Maybe one day, might still.
Do your middle school students have any idea that you were a stud at one time?
You know, you know what? They don't. It's funny because our demographic here, especially we're a kindergarten through eighth grade school, but it's very, very heavy football, basketball oriented. Really nice campus and all, but obviously with the internet and everything, they do. They'll Google me, and all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, they'll come and say professional. It's more about the money than it is the actual game of golf. And, you know, so they that's what they're more interested in. But, yeah, it's funny.
And
more often than not, I'm surprised.
And,
yes.
And I'll tell you, we were all born at the wrong time, because when we look at your great careers, we mentioned 2002, you had 8 top 25 finishes on the tour. Mm-hmm. You won cumulatively over $2 million. But when you look at these PGA purses now, and this, I'm not exaggerating here, you could finish, you could not have any top 25s and make $2 million in about 6 months.
Right, exactly, yeah. And quite honestly, kind of like when I played, my rookie year was a year after, 2 years after Tiger came out. So the TV contracts were renewed basically within a year of when I got on tour. So it was a huge boom. Like, purses went right through the roof for when I started. So I can't even imagine now.
What's your reaction? Final question, Glenn, before we let you go. I really get kind of depressed when I think of the whole demise of Tiger Woods. All of it was so avoidable, and as much money as he's made and as much as he's brought to the game, I still think that his situation is a bit tragic.
I agree. You know, I always thought, you know, the only thing that was going to kind of take him down was injury, and you know, all the other stuff that came before that, you know, like, we're all human, of course.
Right.
He was just so structured and so regimented in what he did, so that, you know, that stuff that happened in his personal life kind of surprised me. But I'll be 100% honest with you. If he was to play, if he was being, because I don't watch a whole lot of golf other than maybe the majors or the Players Championship. If he was in contention, I would sit down and watch if he was in contention. I really would. I mean, that's how much of a draw I think he still is.
Well, Glenn, it's always great to talk to you, man. And go Canada in the World Cup, right?
Right. I know, right? Yeah, you could use every little bit of help we can get.
And we will talk to you again soon. Thanks, buddy.
Kelly, thanks.
Glenn Natchick, former Southern Miss golfer on the Eagle Hour. Tomorrow, Tate Ryder will join us, and I think Bob Getty will be back in the house tomorrow. That'll do it for today. For producer-engineer Michael Mergens, I'm Kelly Sander. Thanks for joining us, and as always, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.